God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome to Dog Poet Central. Welcome to the Saucer Pod and the search for God. That's what we're all about here, finding God, getting into the presence of God, and getting that to repeat with regular frequency. We've all got our systems for that. Any system? Well, my only system is to keep asking, to bug God until he's compelled to appear. I know God wants to appear, and I know I want God to appear, so there shouldn't be any problem. And in this time, my friends, God is more likely to appear. That is how it is in times like these, and why every effort must be made to bring it about. Without the divine in your life has no meaning, and it can't end well. I know there are those who like to think they are the master of their fate and the captain of their soul, but wiser minds across the ages, truly significant souls, have all said pretty much the same thing. We are the master of our fate if we know whose hands to put it in. Tonight, the dog poet is hovering in the saucer pot above this transforming world. There's little to be seen except for the chaos of the moment that swirls in all directions, seeking the arrival of the unknown, which can only reveal itself once it comes into manifestation. None of us know what is coming. There are so many twists and turns, so many possibilities. Casual and uninformed predictions abound. We want no part of them. We don't know. It will come when it comes and as it comes. We're not seeking the conclusions and conditions of this world. We're seeking union and deliverance. We are looking to become co-conspirators in our salvation from this veil of tears. We do not want what this world has to offer, but we are pleased to be here for the purpose for which we have come. All of us have been lost for periods on the way, and we become lost because we cease to cry out and to seek with our every breath to reach the goal. We got played into the devices and dramas of the ordinary. How did we make our way back? Did we suddenly wake up and set off again in the right direction? No. The divine came and found us. This is the beauty of the search, because we will get lost and we will fall. But if we have made the connection, we won't be allowed to wander long. I realize there are many in this time of cynicism, doubt, and disbelief who look upon the sincere seeker as a fool or a fraud simply because they believe in nothing, and sometimes they have their reasons. Yes. Given the sordid state and climate of contemporary religion, that would make sense. But religions only have a peripheral relationship to the divine. Religion is the lined paper you got in elementary school when you were learning to write. Once you've learned to write, you no longer need lined paper. Religions come along that are tailor-made for the different cultures they appear in. They're part of the whole program that encircles us, the clothing that composes the various theatrical presentations that make up this world. One is only to look at the lives of mystics and saints to see how they got along with the official program. Every one of these religions has their mystical sides that came about because fundamentalism doesn't cut it. That is why Islam has the Sufi tradition. You'll find similar in each tradition. Mehmet Karagöz, a powerful mystic and magician, said that when you think you've discovered it, you must look past it until you discover something else. And then you must look past that, and then past that. It continues to deepen and become more and more profound. It's supposed to. What is the point in a static divinity? Are we not more than we appear on the surface? Are we not much more than we appear to ourselves? The further we go into ourselves, the closer we come to the discovery of divinity. I must have a bit of a frog in my throat this evening. Ribbit. Are we not more than we appear? Yes. We move outwardly engaged, and we become outwardly employed. And the more we do, the more the shadow engages us. The purpose of this is reduce us to a state of grief and helplessness so that we will have no alternative but to return to the search, because the search is all there is, and the divine will not allow us to wallow in the sty forever. The sty is where you wind up. It's just how the system works, and the system is perfect. How do I know this? Because I've been there. It's no guarantee that just because you're committed to the path that you will be allowed to stay on it. I've also been there too. We think we are committed, but sometimes we are not. How could we have wandered off the path if we were committed? I should point out that no matter how committed you think you are, you can still be thrown off of it, because the divine wants to see what happens when it happens. I know it seems like some kind of a cruel sense of humor on the part of the divine, but there's a lot more to it than that. One has to understand the divine is perfect, and the reach of his vision is far, far beyond our own and ever will be. We are computing from our small and narrow position, but that doesn't stop us from knowing all about it, and our knowing all about it is why we get bumped off the path. The path ends or disappears into a thicket shortly after we come to the conclusion that we know. Of course, it has to be proven to us that we do not know, and it will be. We have to keep in mind that the divine wears a different watch than we do. Sometimes things can go on for a long time before we wind up in the soup. It actually goes on for a shorter time if we have the favor of the divine, because the divine will not let us wallow in the murk for as long, or for too long, or so long as the time extended to some others. This can mean that the conditions of our life can seem more severe than the lives of those having boat drinks and cruising through the atmosphere of the high-end dream worlds. We can be subjected to all sorts of unpleasantness because we are loved that much, and the whole point is to free us from the terrible griefs that attend those who are allowed to develop the dreadful attachments that must sooner or later be severed. It doesn't make sense in terms of the mortal mind. It doesn't make sense in terms of those who see the world as some kind of permanent location where the only things going on are the things going on there. But that, of course, is not the case. Here, the powerful and important attend their exclusive affairs and cannot see that they are in a dining room shrouded with cobwebs or that they are surrounded by desiccated skeletons. You may not think it's like that, but it is. There's a very spooky atmosphere in those temples of the rich that is not detectable to those who have an investment in believing that it is real. They are not allowed to see it because they must play those roles that seem so incredibly real to the rest of us who are not allowed to play them, but who want so desperately to be able to do this and that. And that is why the whole show goes on, in order to create these attractions that enthrall us all. It is what makes it attractive to go to war. It is how all the cannon fodder gets sucked into dying in the trenches for the bankers. It is the way that they run the show, and the show it is. It is a show. The ringmaster has vampire fangs. The clowns are all werewolves. The smooth riders are all fiends dressed up as the privileged few. They make their arrangements, and now they get to ride in the parade floats and wave at the crowd like animated mannequins. The collective intelligence of the people is always commensurate with the level of the entertainment provided. You don't find what you find in these times in a golden age, but that time is coming. It will still be the world, however, and there are other worlds where the least of what is there is far beyond the best of what we get here. That's just how it is. It doesn't matter if one believes it or not. It is there for those who do believe in it and who aspire to be there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would not have told you so. The fact of the matter is that very few people are interested in the spiritual side of things, except on their own terms, and the rest can be pretty determined until they aren't determined because it didn't turn out the way they thought it would, or there were too many rocks in the road of smooth sailing into some never-never land of peace and harmony, milk and honey, table under the rainbow. It rains on everyone, and it especially rains on those looking to impress the Rainmaster with their devotion. Life can be tough enough under any circumstances, but it can be especially tough on those who don't go along with the program when they are surrounded by programs demanding that they go along with them. But what about all those New Age people who are all shiny and dazzling and white and who magically dance through all of life's problems and call themselves life coaches and soul coaches and make all kinds of money and hang out with celebrities? Well, the truth is they are on stage, and they always look like that when they are on stage. Celebrities can be very engaging and entertaining when they are on stage. So can politicians. If you've encountered either when they are off stage, they can really surprise you. And I know whereof I speak. This is the disconnect between people and themselves that they either don't care about, or that didn't get taken care of before they became celebrities, because often becoming a celebrity involves setting these concerns aside. This is the disconnect between the public and those who they set on pedestals. They want to believe the best about them, and so they are terribly deceived along the way. The same thing happens with many spiritual teachers, which is why you should never put yourself in that position of accepting that position unless you have been put in that position by the one who makes those decisions. And then the best thing is to try to avoid it at all costs. I don't want to appear to be knocking the totality of the New Age practitioners who identify themselves as such, or the politicians and celebrities, as all being fraudulent and disingenuous. I have found that most of the ones I have encountered fit that description, but I haven't gone out of my way to meet a boatload either. I've generally had good luck with spiritual teachers, but that's a matter of only following up on a positive reality for as long as it continued to be so. I've had plenty of problems with followers who tend to pay a great deal of attention more to the behavior of other people and very little to their own, and that is why I have been talking about everything I have been talking about for the last few minutes. Everything comes down to watching ourselves and honestly assessing what we say and do. This doesn't mean to never be critical of the world around us. That might be our job. But what it does mean is our first priority is to monitor ourselves so we don't wind up like the people we don't want to wind up like. I've mentioned any number of times that one needs a guide. I've been told by some but that that's not the case, and they don't need a guide, and there are those who don't know what a guide is, and those who believe that having a guide opens the door to being deceived. None of those things are emblematic of the guides I am talking about. I'm talking about angelic companions, also known as devas, that embraces a very large spectrum of entities, and not all of them are hospitable to the task of being a guide. Maybe some of you can find your way without one. I have not been able to do that, and I wouldn't want to attempt it at this stage of the game. Certain periods of advancement are much more critical than others, and the penalties for failure more dear. It makes all the difference to advance in the footsteps of one who has been that way before. Some believe that fearlessness and an iron will is all that is necessary to come up against the agents of darkness, and some of these believe they can command them as well. Some turn these abilities upon the world for their own profit and pleasure, and do not realize that such an act summons the very agents of darkness of which I am speaking. Those who can lead us from one realm into another are masters of that realm, or they could not accomplish it. They would also then be masters of the realms below. Those who cannot pass from one realm into another are not masters of the realm they are presently in, and possibly not of the realms below them either, and are only insulated from terrible things because of boundaries set in place by those on high. Some of us are much protected and do not realize it. Protections come and go dependent on various things. A guide is a good thing to have. I don't want to give anyone the impression that I know what I'm talking about. You might simply look upon these broadcasts as food for thought, and whatever else you come across with my energies engaged in it, as the same. Quite often, what we gain from anything is not directly connected to the thing that appeared to connect us to it. Books lead to other books. People lead to other people. Situations lead to other situations. And everything leads to something else. What gets us to one place from another can be important, but it is not the most important. The most important thing is what we are after in the larger sense, not what we pass through on the way to it. And the critical thing to remember is not to mistake something that is not it as it. People will tell you you are already there and that there is nothing to seek after, and all sorts of things that sound wise and filled with zen. They'll try to tell you, you're already perfect and completely fulfilled, you just need to realize it, and poof, poof, you're no longer a pumpkin, you're a princess or something. I don't know, which is not good if you were hoping to be a prince. But anyway, if that works for you, have at it. I've never been a fan of you're already perfect, you're already there, I don't see it, and I certainly don't see it in the people that run around telling me this. But then again, that may just be me. I believe there's a lot of effort involved, a lot of work involved, and a whole dynamic that takes place. And once again, that's just me. There are a lot of ways up the mountain. Pick the one that works best for you, and even go crossways and step onto another one at some point along the way. That works too. Success is speedy for the energetic. Anyway, we've come to the end of another broadcast. Yes, we have. I'll see you next week if there is one. And I suspect that'll be the Christmas show, and I just finished that a few moments ago. So in betwixt times, stay on the Royal Road. It leads up and out of here, no matter what might be going on around you. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.